I hope everyone understands what a wonderful place you've got to come and worship. Amen. This is a wonderful church. And now I think I pastor the best people in the world. I do. And I bet your pastor believes the same thing. And he should. Amen. But if I wasn't pastoring, I do believe I'd come here. And I told my people that if I wasn't pastoring, I'd probably sell my house, move up to Toledo, and go there. He said, what would you do for work? That's secondary to me. Where I go to church is first. Amen. And because I love your pastor. I really do. And I want to be friendly and to people. I really do. And I consider myself to be a people person. But I don't know. Brother Rogers, I count him a friend. And I think that's a privilege on my part. And Brother Sal, I count him a friend. I think that's a privilege on my part. And Brother Marshall, I count him a friend. I feel like I'm privileged. Amen. And I like this place. I enjoy coming here, church. I said every time I come, please do not minimize in your mind or allow to become minimized what this meeting can do for preachers that come in. I'm telling you what, I've been blessed. I've been helped. You got to get those messages and listen to them. How many of you ever had a message say, you know what, I don't need to commit that one to memory. I need to listen to that many times. Amen. Thank God we live in the dispensation of MP3s and CDs. Amen. All right. This morning, and I appreciate very much, very much what Brother Rogers said. And so I want to go over one book further this morning and go to the book of Colossians, please. The book of Colossians. And I'm going to preach something that I preached at our church not long ago. And I don't know how it is with you, but there's like truths that the Lord kind of works on me and I begin to see over a process of time. And this is something that I've been noticing over a process of time, recognizing it. And so Colossians chapter 2, the Bible says in verse 1, read with me, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts by me comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you." I wish you just kind of underline or highlight "any man. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." Again, I wish you'd highlight or underline "any man." "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you're complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." I want you to drop over to verse 16 for the sake of time. It says, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat, or in drink, or in respect of an holy day, or for the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you." Once again, in verse 16, if you'd highlight or underline "no man." Verse 18, "Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God." Let's pray. Father, I do ask you to help me to convey to the brethren what you have shown me. And Lord, I need you. I need for clarity of thought. I ask you for that. Lord, I pray that you would help me to Lord, to be able to give it out in an understandable way. Lord, I don't know that there's a more important truth. I know this. I know it's something we everyone battle with. So Lord, help us to understand that really a whole lot of what's been said this week has its core in this subject. And Lord, whatever you do in our hearts, I pray you would in everyone's heart today. And we'll thank you and we'll praise you and rejoice in your goodness. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I call this chapter the chapter of Christian insecurity. Beware lest any man. Don't let a man judge you. Don't let a man beguile you. Don't let a man spoil you. Then recently I read a story about a man, the craziest thing, he hated his nose. I guess everybody's got one. Amen. And he hated it, and so he asked his best friend to punch him hard with the intent of breaking it. And the first time, he didn't punch him hard enough to break it. So he asked him to punch it again. His idea was, if I can get my nose broke, I can get insurance to have surgery to get my nose changed. Wow. That's some serious business. Insecurity can take over a person to the point where it starts making decisions for him. No, he's making the decision. She's making the decisions, but really it's the insecurity that's doing so. You can see it everywhere. You can see it in people. You can see it in people that love intellect. Now, I'm not for stupid. All right? But the fact is a lot of people want to know things because we like how it makes us look and sound. I don't think it's bad to know things. I think the Christians ought to be smart people. They ought to be informed people. They ought to be intelligent. But that does not mean that when we begin to search these things out, that we're not feeding something inside of us, this insecurity. Now, stay with me, because immediately when I begin to say something like insecurity, and this is what the Lord's been showing me, when I say that, someone says, oh, you know, you're going that Christian psychology way. No, you know what? How do you remember? It was used to be called the Minerith Meyer Clinic. On the, remember that? I used to call it the Major Minor Clinic. And all they would do is major on minors. That's all they would ever do. But we have a tendency to criticize psychology, and rightfully so, but back up for a second. What I'm realizing is the world is recognizing a problem. They're just trying to resolve it without the Bible. Insecurity is real, and by the way, insecurity is everybody's problem. Brother Castlelaw and I have been friends for many years. I remember several years ago we were on the phone, we were talking about these things. And in the middle of it, there was this little pause, and he says, do you think I'm secure? And we both laughed. You'll get that in a second. Amen. Yeah. It's a problem we all have. You see, the psychologists say, you know, the problem is our kids are insecure, so I know what they need. They need to have a better self-image. No, not according to the Bible. You know what we need? Listen, kids, you're insecure. It's because you don't love yourself enough, and now we've got this self-love thing going on, and no one has checked out in the Bible where Paul said, in the last days, men will be lovers of their own selves. So they see the problem, but they're trying to fix it with non-spiritual solutions. Now, I got news for you. Everybody here is insecure. They say, well, no, I'm not insecure. Yes, you are. You know why you're insecure? Because you were born. It occurred to me in looking at this that the first place of insecurity is in the book of Genesis chapter 3. Adam had sinned, and God comes walking in the garden. Adam, where art thou? And Adam said, I hid myself. Well, what is that outside of insecurity? I don't want to face you because of how I look now. I'm naked. And so the first thing I learned about insecurity, there's two knee-jerk reactions for people when we're insecure. Number one, we try to hide from God. And number two, we try to improve our look before man. What do? They put fig leaves on. And that hasn't changed. It's just that fig leaves have taken on the look of intellect. Social status. Yeah. The car I drive, the house I live in, the suits I wear. You know, I'm telling you what, I believe every person, I like nice suits, I really do. I just get most of mine at Goodwill. My wife is, she's going, oh no, you didn't tell him that, did you? Amen. Yeah, if I can get a, because I'm cheap. I don't think I'm Irish, but I got that trait. Amen. I'm cheap. Frugal, brother. I'm sorry. Frugal. Amen. Yeah. You can see it in religious movements. You know, we've been hearing some things today about the contemporary Christian movement. When you go over to fundamentalism, and I use that term broadly, we can include Bible believers and all of whatever kind of a tag you want to put on them. But we're over here, and I've already said, and you've heard it today, no one is advocating, let's throw out rules. But a lot of times we have our standards and our rules, and a lot of times on a personal level, we don't have it because it's really a conviction, we have it because we want to fit in. I'm not suggesting you discard it, I'm suggesting you get a better reason for having it. You say, why do we do that? Because we all want to fit in. You know what the Bible says? He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Do you realize every Christian here is already accepted with God in Christ? But that's not the problem. The problem is we want to be accepted among men. And so men can beguile me and men can spoil me and I let men judge me. As soon as I do that, I've fallen from the head. I've let go of my head, who is Christ. And that's the teaching of the chapter. Oh, yes, there is insecurity. You can also see it in the contemporary Christian ranks. You say, why? Why do you think? There's only two really reasons that feed the contemporary Christian. Number one, self-centered desire. I like that music. I'm just using music illustration. I like that music. Now I found something spiritual or something Christian. I can stick to it and feel good about it. And the other one is I want them to. You ever notice how it's always, hey, come look. We're just like you. They're wanting Christianity accepted in society. You say, why? Because they're insecure. Why do you think people end up making pincushions out of themselves? Someone says, well, I'm not insecure. I don't care what anybody thinks. There is a way of dealing with insecurity that is in your face, I don't care. And you have your group. They do. The bikers that go around, they try to be as rough and as anti-establishment, anti-social. You say they still have their group they fit in with. You say, why? Because insecurity is a big issue. Man, you even find it in pulpits and ministries. There's not a pastor here that hasn't gone some home. We were just talking about this week. Hasn't gone home at some point in some time and looked around at your wife and said, how'd I do? Well, why are you asking her? And by the way, I've done the same thing. Ooh, I hear crickets. Amen. Wow. Ministries. There's a large ministry. There's a small ministry. And you don't feel as much in your small ministry because you got certain things you got to reach before you are accepted. At least you think you're accepted. Are we getting the idea? Insecurity. You see that there? Our eyes look to thee. Insecurity doesn't. Insecurity is always focused on what man thinks about us. If you look in the Bible, you go to the Old Testament, and the first king of Israel was the epitome of insecurity. King Saul. King Saul was always worried about what everybody thought. Matter of fact, he took his ideas, he took his decisions, he always took the lead from what do the people think. Remember over there when he didn't kill all the Amalekites? That had to be a frustrating thing for Samuel. It really did. Samuel shows up and said, what have you done? He said, I have done the will of God. He said, well, then what's all the bleeding of this sheep I hear in my ear? He said, oh, that's the sheep we save for him. And at some point you're saying, are you stupid? You know? He said, but God said, kill them all. It was the people. It was a great idea to now, but now I don't like the idea. Amen. If you read chapter 15 of 1 Samuel, verse 17, you know what God said by the mouth of Samuel? He said, when thou wast little in thy sight. I want to make a statement. You say, well, he was successful, and being successful, it ruined his humility. I don't think he had humility. I think he had insecurity. You see, his little in his sight wasn't compared to God. His little in his sight was compared to everybody else. So when they go to coronate him, when they go to crown him, he hides. No. He's not meek. He's not humble. He's insecure. That's what he is. We're all insecure. It's the road of peer pressure. Young people, please make no mistake. Make no mistake. It is not all the peripherals that are available to you today. It is not. It is the desire that you want to fit in and you want to be accepted. But let's not be critical on them, because we all have that. It's part of the flesh. It's due to the fall. Insecurity is due to the fall. So no one is exempt from it. We all would do good tonight or this morning just to say, I am insecure. Let's try it. I am insecure. That's not bad, but there's some that are resisting. All right, let's try it again. I am insecure. If anybody here said you were insecure, you didn't do it right, okay? Not me, you, all right? Yeah. Yeah. One more time.
I am insecure.
All right, well, call my office in the morning. We'll have an appointment. Yeah. Amen. The issue is, am I accepted? That's the issue. Did you ever read over in Numbers 33 or 13:33? They go in to spy the land out. Do you remember that? They came back out and they said this. I had it in my head wrong for years. It says, and there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight. He didn't say we were in their sight as grasshoppers. No, we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. Listen, the greatest problem with witnessing today is because of how the world sees us, but the world sees us that way because we see ourselves that way. We were in our own sight as grasshoppers. What is that? We were insecure. Jeremiah 1, I am but a child. Don't say you're a child. He said, for I will be with thee. We've got to recognize something. Security doesn't come from loving yourself. Security doesn't come from becoming successful in the ministry or any other aspect of life. Security comes from a child of God by the relationship and the fellowship and the union we have with Jesus Christ. We got to look to Him. Would you notice in Colossians the issues that he touches? Verse 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy. Several years ago, I might have told this here if I did. Sorry. But several years ago, there was a church in our area, and they invited a bunch of pastors out because they had this Christian psychologist or whatever, and they had taken the four basic, you know, personality traits. They'd give them Christian names, you know. And this is the revolutionary stuff. We have figured out how to deal with people. How many have heard that? You guys heard of that? Where they give the Christian names out and so on. Yeah. And so they invited me, and I thought, well, I'm going to go. And I believe that the Spirit guides me in all truth. So on the way, I'm saying, the Lord, I don't want to be closed to something that's going to be good. But then again, I don't want to be gullible to something that's bad. And I'm just trusting you to guide me in all truth. So Lord, please guide me. And I sit down, and I'm not being skeptical. I'm just sitting down saying, Lord, I just keep my head to where I can think and listen and evaluate and so on. The guy got up and he began to describe these four personality traits. And one of them, he says, Moses, he said, that is the picture of this personality trait. That's it. Paul, Paul's this personality trait. And then Peter is this personality trait. And I believe he said David was the next one. And so he took all the different personality traits and he said, now these are the types of them. And I'm going, okay, there's David and there's Moses and there's Paul and there's Peter. All right. And I'm listening. He said, now, he says, as a Christian, we are to be balanced. He said, so when we become a balanced Christians, no one will know which one we are. So David wasn't spiritual. Paul wasn't spiritual. Peter wasn't spiritual. Moses wasn't spiritual. And the Spirit of God said, watch it. You see it? So they gave us this little paper to fill out, you know, and we have to evaluate ourselves. But now I'm skeptical. And so rather than writing them down, I take a piece of paper and I answer mine on a piece of paper. Oh, when they got done with it, they're all saying, oh, that's me. Look, they're sharing with each other. I thought I was in a high school room. Look at the grade I got. I thought it was in my high school room because I'm saying, don't look at my paper. Well, I went home and I set it down. I set the test down. I said, Sonia, this is my wife. I said, Sonia, I said, answer those about me. And she began to mark them off. And when she got them done, I held them up. And everything she thought about me, I didn't think about myself. They were totally different. You know what psychology does? Psychology does its best to help us in our insecurity. But it's using it from it's trying to solve us from unscriptural and unbiblical means. Listen, this is the root issue. Number one, you are insecure. Number two, you can't fix it. You know what fixes it? A right relationship with God. Amen. And with that being said, I just want to go to this. I want to give you a few areas. I want to share four securities everyone in this room needs. If you take your Bibles, go to 2 Peter 1 real fast. The first one is the security of authorship. The security of authorship. In 2 Peter 1, it says in verse 16, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty, for He received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory, this is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. No doubt remembering the Mount of Transfiguration. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with Him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto we do well to take heed. Can I please tell you something? Peter says having the word of God was better than being on the mount. You know where security comes from? Security comes from knowing what is right and what is wrong. Security comes from knowing the solutions. My dad taught me to work on cars. I know how to fix brakes. I know how to rebuild engines. I've rebuilt transmissions. I enjoy working with my hands. Now, I got to tell you something, though. I always feel sorry for those people that don't know anything about cars outside the lights that come on. Because there's got to be an enormous panic when those lights come on because they make them ominous. They're yellow, they flash. Now, when the reds come on, everybody knows we're in trouble, right? But you say, oh, something's wrong with my car. I got to tell you, I don't get too wrapped up about it. I don't get too concerned. I've got a light right on in my car. I got one right now. I know what it is. Knowing what it is helps me relax and put off fixing it. Amen. I put off fixing it because I am secure. But I'm secure in what I know. You know, there's many Christians that are walking through this life and they're uncertain. Listen, the Bible tells us where we came from. It tells us where we're at. It tells us where we're headed. And there's no reason for a Christian to get up in arms and frustrated and concerned and scared. Listen, God's got this thing under control. Amen. And I sit back and I just smile. Now, I hate to see what's happening with our country, but I got to tell you, it's going according to plan. When things crop up, I've heard Christians that have taken unscriptural positions. I'm saying, how can you do that? And I thought, I bet there's other areas you're insecure. You say, why? Because security comes from knowing the author of this book, the authorship, that I've got the words of God. And folks, I believe with all my heart, I've got the words of God in this book before me. God, please just say this sidebar real fast. You either believe that that book is the message that God wants us to have, or you believe it's His words. And the closer you get to believing it's His words, the more you're going to find out about it. I've found some amazing things in us, thus, ofs, ands. Some of the smallest things, the jots and the tittles say something to me. And I have security. Amen. Born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. It's God's words. It's important. It's why. It's how I walk. It's how I live. It's how I measure what is right and wrong, how I live my life. Brother Rogers has done a great job this week in taking us through principles in Scripture. And sometimes, I told the church when I came there years ago, I held it up, and it was a Sunday school class, and I'm here, and we have two sides to our church, and they were on this side. First Sunday there, auditorium, adult class, and I said, I want you to know something. I said, I am not the final authority here. And that was the first amen I got as being pastor. Amen, amen, you know. And I said, I want you to know something else. I said, you're not either. And I held the book up. I said, this book is final authority. And I said, and they said, amen. I said, so can I? I said, if I can teach you something out of this book that's contrary to what you've always believed, I said, will you abandon what you've always believed and embrace what this book says? They said, yes. I said, likewise, if you can prove me wrong in what I preach out of this book, I will change what I preach to match this book. The book became the authority. The book is the authority. And therefore, I know what I believe. And listen, we've heard this week about knowing Him. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 11, He said, learn of me, and ye shall find rest for your souls. What are you going to learn of Him? Well, if you're over here in the contemporary, you'll learn of Him because they sit down and they just kind of talk about their thought. And this is what it means to me. I don't care what it means to you. Well, to me, this means, I don't care. My thought, I don't care about your thought. You shouldn't care about mine. I want to know what the Bible says. Well, preacher, you got to interpret it. It interprets itself. Just read it. It'll tell you what it says. And you can stand on the certainty of the Word of God. That's where security is found. There's security of authorship. Take your Bibles, go to Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, the Bible says this in verse 15 and 16. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Secondly, I would say a security that every person in this room needs. You need the security of relationship. Amen. I'm glad I am today a child of God. I know I don't look like much. That's because you don't see the part of me that's been born again. Amen. But I am a child of God. That verse used to bother me. Years ago it bothered me because His Spirit bears witness with our spirit. Every Christian here needs it. You say, why? Because that's where the security's at. The security is knowing you're a child of God. What manner of love that the Father bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. And the question is this. The question is, does it mean more to you that God has accepted you, or does it mean more to you that people accept you? And you say, well, I'm going to go out today. I'm not going to care what anybody thinks. No, you're missing it. 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 In John 15, Jesus said this. He said, abide in me. He said, you'll bring forth fruit. If you abide in me, He said, and bring forth fruit, the Father purgeth you that you may bring forth more fruit. Here's the Christian life. Here is a principle. It is not so much you getting the stuff out of your life as it is getting the Word of God into your life, and it pushes the stuff out of your life. Preacher, I just can't say goodbye to my old friends. You won't have to. Get the Word of God. They'll say goodbye to you. Amen. You see, what we've done, what we're doing is, I may have said this before, what we're doing is we're telling everybody, we don't do this, we don't do that, we don't go there, we do this, we do that. We're saying all of that, and we're creating a vacuum. We're getting stuff out of our life, and a vacuum is nature. Nature calls for it to be filled. But if I began to put Him into me, then it begins to drop off and drop off and drop off. They smile. They'll shake their head. Yeah, give you a call. I'll get back with you. And they never get back with you. Oh, don't feel bad. Don't feel bad. Well, that makes me insecure. Don't look to them. Look to Him. You see, at the end of the day, all I really need, at the end of the day, all you really need is to be able to lay your head down and say, God, thank you that somewhere I pleased you today. That's really all that matters. Man may mock me. Man may desert me. But thank you that somewhere in my life today, you pleased, I pleased you. We walked together. You said, good job. A verse that I love in the Bible, Paul said at my first answer, no man stood by me. Nevertheless, the Lord stood by me. And for whatever reason, that was okay. No one was on my side. Everybody deserted me. But then again, everybody deserted the Lord Jesus Christ when he went to the cross. Even the Father. But he was deserted of the Father so we would never have to be. And so when everybody says, forget it, walk away, they don't want anything to do with you. If you can walk away with Christ, you can be secure. Amen. Oh, I wish we could get this. You say, why? Because we live. Listen, the world sees it. You go knock on someone's door. Have you ever knocked on a door and then deep down inside you were hoping no one would answer? Yeah? Oh, no one's on. Just put it here. We are experts at sliding the tracks into the cracks. Amen? You know what that is? It's just insecurity. So what we do is this. What we say is, well, I'm going to be bold. Yeah, like a bull in a china shop, you're going to be bold. I think your pastor just said it. We have the truth. We don't have to be mean about it. Well, oftentimes, mean is just the compensation for insecure. So it's not that I'm going to be bold. No, it's Lord, you know what? Apparently I'm looking to man. And the more you look to man, the more insecure you're going to be. There was a boy that I was homeschooling my daughter, and he had gone to a Christian school, did something where he'd gotten kicked out of school. And so I, whether it was right or not, I told him, so we'll bring him down here. And, you know, one year I had a Christian school, two people. Amen. I set him down in my office and I looked at him, and what he had done, he'd just done something to be seen. Any class clowns in here? Can you say insecure? You say, why? Because you gotta see me. I want people to. No class clown wants to tell a joke and nobody laugh. No class clown wants the class to say, ah, sit down. No, it's the approval we're looking for. Well, he did something like that. I set him down and I said, I want to tell you something that I told my kids. Until you're able to walk alone, you're probably not fit to walk with man. Christian, until you're able to walk alone, you're probably not fit to walk with man. Because there's going to come a day when the crowd's going to say, let's go this way. And you're going to be the lone voice that says, sorry, I'm not going that way. And if you have to have the approval of the crowd, you'll go. Boy, there's got to be a mastering of God. Help me to be secure in you. I'm secure because of the relationship. Let me give you the third one. Go to 1 John. This is the one I've got to watch myself, or I could spend all day on it. The book of, you know what? Just don't go to the book of 1 John. Read it later. The whole book, read it. Yeah. The security of fellowship. The security of fellowship. Many years ago, we had the one time in my ministry, we had Brother Ruckman in. I hadn't called him, a guy that would have him up, had him up around our area called. And I hadn't been to church probably 5 years, maybe. And would you like to have him in church Sunday? Oh, yeah, man, I'd love to have him in church Sunday. I was a nervous wreck. He walked in. First thing he did, he went into a room and he brought out tapes of the previous pastor. And he brought out my tapes. And I'm thinking, I got to get those tapes. I'm thinking, I don't want him to hear those tapes. He preached that day. He preached a great message on the worst thing that happened to a man in this life. Did a chalk draw. A lady in our church sitting towards the back, they'd been members for quite some time. Her and her husband stepped out in the invitation, began to walk down. She walked down and I said, sis, what's wrong? She's crying. I've got to get saved. So I thought you were saved. She said, I thought I was too, but I'm not. That was mean for me to talk like that, wasn't it? She said, I thought I was too, but I'm not. All right. I was just trying to put it, I can't cry like a girl. I can't even throw like a girl. Amen. I'm glad I got that one in. Amen. We went back, her and her husband and I went back. I sat down and talked to her and I said this. I said, sister, I said, tell me, when you asked the Lord to save you, you mean it? Yes. Did you know you're a sinner? Yes. I said, you believe he died for you? Yes. And I said, you really called out and asked him? Yes. Then why aren't you, why do you need to be saved? I just don't feel. I said, sister, can I ask you a question? She said, yeah. I said, how's your Bible reading? Her face changed. I read some. A lot? Well, no, not much. How's your prayer life? I really don't pray a whole lot. I said, sister, I can't tell you that you're saved no more than I can tell you you're unsaved. I said, if you like, we'll bow our head and you can ask the Lord to save you right now. I said, but personally, I don't think that's your problem. I don't think your problem is a problem of relationship. I think your problem is a problem of fellowship. You know, you can have such an absence of fellowship, you begin to question the relationship. Multitudes of marriages have insecurity in them because the fellowship broke down. Does he still love me? Am I still king in her eyes? Does she still think I'm just wonderful? It's not that there's anything going on. It's just that there's nothing going on. No fellowship. I've been here a few times. Every time I've been here, every time I go anywhere, I say the same thing. Because some people, they'll hear it, they'll amen it, they'll go out and they'll never do it. But you cannot fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ without getting in this book. Learn of me. You can't fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ without Him talking to you and you talking to Him. That is communion. When I was backslid on the Lord, that verse in Romans bothered me. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And for the life of me, I couldn't remember Him ever bearing witness with my spirit outside of the day I got saved. And I don't know why. I can try to, you know, I can't put it down to the ABCs and all that. But I just know that I eventually sat down with the Bible and realized that everything I believed, young people, please listen to me on this. Everything I believed because someone told me so. My church believes this. My pastor believes this. My mom and dad say this is what we believe. Yeah, but what do you believe? It's like that guy one time, fellow said, what do you believe? He said, same thing my church believes. He said, what's your church believe? He said, same thing I believe. He said, well, what do you both believe? He said, same thing. That guy didn't believe anything. See, the problem is, as I said yesterday morning, we have kids that have never developed a personal walk. And a personal walk is sitting down with a Bible and say, God, I need to know you, mom and dad. Please don't take this wrong. It's a very good thing. I need to know you apart from mom and dad. I need to know you apart from the church I grew up in. I need to know you apart from the instruction I got. I need to know you through the pages of the Word. I need the Spirit of God to talk with me. And if young people today and moms and dads today would get a hold of that, we'd have some security. Amen. Fellowship. Listen to this. And hereby we know that we know Him. It didn't say hereby we're saved. Hereby we know we're saved. The issue is not salvation. The issue is assurance. It's an amazing thing, but Baptists, the ones that carry the banner, eternal security, we're the worst in not believing or wondering whether we're saved or not. Can I please say something? If you don't know your end, you don't get further than that. You've got to settle the relationship. Josiah, here's how we do it. Stay with me. I'll be done in a second. But here's how we do it. Am I saved? Are you saved? Yes, I'm saved. How do you know you're saved? Because a long, long time ago, I walked an aisle at Hope Baptist Church and I knelt down. The preacher dealt with me. Sunday school teacher dealt with me. And I asked the Lord Jesus to save me. Now, I'm not discounting that, but how many recognize that happened a long time ago? You see, assurance, if you were to ask me, are you married? I wouldn't search out my marriage certificate. Where did we keep that thing? Pictures. We have pictures. You say, how do you know you're married? I talked to her last night. I talked to her this morning. I said, honey, I love you. She said, I love you. Miss you. Miss you too. Woo-hoo! Oh, that was big for me right there. That was big. I look forward to getting home and seeing her. Amen. You say, why? Because I love her. She loves me. How do you know she loves me? She tells me. She shows me. She cooks what I want her to cook for me. Oh, you just love her because she cooks for me or cooks for you. That is not true. She does my clothes, too. Unless she be watching. No, really, it has nothing to do with what she cooks for me. It has nothing to do. It has nothing to do with what she cooks for me, taking care of the home, cleaning my clothes. You say, why do you love her? I just love her for her. I can't explain any further than that. Wish I could. It's not because she does anything for me. Have you ever reached the point in your Christian life where you love him? And I know we love him because he first loved us. But you want him more than you want his blessings. You want him more than you want his. I'm not looking for what you can give me, God. I'm just looking for you. Assurance. There is the security of fellowship. Oh, I remember when that first happened to me, when the Spirit of God raised up in me. Oh, my goodness. We know that we have passed from death and life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brethren abideth in death. But we know. Hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. He that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know he abideth in us. Hereby know we that he dwelleth, we dwelleth in him. By this we know that we love the children of God. When we love God, keep his commandments. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. These things have I written unto you that you may know that you have eternal life. It's not enough to be saved. It's important to be secure in it. The very term eternal security. You're insecure. I am too. I want someone to say, hey, good job. I want someone to say, you know what? You're a great guy. I want someone to look and say, how did you do that? And so often we fall to that and men judge us. But we give into their judgment. Oh, you don't think I'm doing it right? How do you think I should do it? You think that I'm not dressed right? I'm sorry, I don't want to be dressed right. How do you think I should dress? Yeah, I'm not talking. Yeah, I don't. I'm terrible. But I slaughter the English language. I'm working on it. Every time I preach, I'm working on it. But I got to tell you something. I'm really not here to please you. When I'm done, I just want to be able to sit down and say, God, I told him, thank you. Thank you. Oh, man. I could go on. I'm going to give you the last one. Go to Colossians chapter 2 and we'll finish off there. Colossians chapter 2, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. I couldn't find Haggai today. Haggai, Habakkuk, where it was. I just left it in this one page and pretended. You ever do that? Yeah, amen. Yeah, you look long enough, you say, I'm just going to leave it here and hope everybody thinks I have it. Amen. 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 Colossians chapter 2, the security of the headship, verse 19, and not holding the head. They spoiled me by philosophy, by intellect, by traditions, by the rudiments, the do this, the don't do that. I fell into what they told me I was supposed to be and how I was supposed to be. And verse 16, they judged me on what I was doing, but I fell into that. Verse 18, it says a voluntary humility. I became religious because that's what they were looking for. Years ago, I'll finish off. Years ago, when I took the church, I told you yesterday, I didn't know anything. I really didn't know anything. But now, Brother Rogers, I'm a pastor. And so, how do you be a pastor? I know how to be a pastor. I wear a suit everywhere I go. I did. I remember one time I went to my wife's mother and father's house for a birthday. They always had birthday gatherings. And I wore a suit. Because why? Well, I'm a pastor. I need to wear a suit. I'm a pastor. I heard my brother-in-law lean over and says, does he wear a suit everywhere? And I was insecure. Well, they think I'm bad not wearing a suit. Maybe I need to loosen my tie. Maybe I'll take the coat off. You ever been ruled by what people think? Just say yes, because it's true with all of us. What am I trying to do better, preacher? You'll never do better. What you'll do is you will soothe and feed your insecurity until you learn to hold your head. Lord, you know what they're saying? Don't worry about that, son. Don't worry about that. We're okay. Lord, they got mad at me. And if you're in the ministry, someone's going to get mad at you. Any of you pastors ever make a decision that someone didn't like? Maybe better, have you ever made a decision everyone liked? Have you ever made a decision anyone liked outside yourself? And boy, you make decisions like that, and you better know that you're secure with Him. I told the people this years ago when I came to the church. I looked at the guys. I said, guys, you have this promise. I said, by the grace of God, I said, I will never use the term, God is leading and this is His will, as my carte blanche to get what I want. You know, it goes on. Not long after we came to the church, it just comes to mind, I'm sorry, so if you've heard this before, just act like you haven't, okay? Not long after I came to the church, I received a phone call from the Bell Corporation, Cincinnati Bell. We had a piece of property. The area was booming. They need to put a little a phone building. Reverend Greer. No, it was Father Greer. I didn't bother in correcting. Yes. Father Greer. Anybody ever been called Father? Father Greer. Yes. It's just too much of a hassle to fix. All right. He said, we've been looking at some property. We'd like to put a building there. We'd like to have a lease. We're willing to pay you $1,000. I went, oh. He said, would you? I said, I got to talk to the guys. So we hung up. I walked down the property, walked around and said, Lord, they offered us $1,000, like He didn't know. That's a lot of money, Lord, to make Your will. Would you please tell me? I didn't know. So that Sunday, I got with the guys. I said, guys, this is what's happened. I told them, I said, honestly, I can't tell if it's the will of God or not. What say ye? Not enough money. We are a Baptist church. I said, okay. So I called him up and I said, hey, I said, they said not enough money. He said, about what? How about $2,500? I'll talk to him. I go out, Lord, you ever think it's funny because you're telling the Lord what happened? You'll never believe this. I got a phone call. Really? He said, I said, Lord, $2,500. He's over doubled that thing, but that doesn't make it Your will. I'd like to know it's Your will. I prayed. I read. No answer. Went back that Sunday. Guys, we got to meet again. Sat down, told him the story. Said, guys, what say ye? Not enough money. I said, okay. I said, but you're going to tell me what enough money is before I go back to him. And they said, $5,000. I said, okay. So I went back and I said, well, sir, I said, I've talked to the men. I said, I got good news and bad news. First of all, the bad news is they said, no, it's not enough money. Good news is I know what enough money is now. How much is enough money? $5,000. Thank you. Okay, I guess it wasn't God's will. I didn't worry about it. Are you okay in just sitting on something if you haven't got God's mind? Are you secure in just sitting? Are you secure in just waiting? About 3 months later, I get a phone call. Hello, sir. This is Mr. Myers. Wow. Bet you thought you'd never heard from me again. I said, sure enough. I filed that stuff away. So I've had vice presidents of Cincinnati Bell on your property. They decide it's the best spot. We've never paid this amount for this property or for this before, but they've agreed to it. And at that moment, the Spirit of God took a verse that I wasn't even in my reading. He opens doors no man can shut. He shuts doors no man can open. And I got security. I met with the men that Sunday night. I said, guys, this is what went on. And now, if you say no, you're going to miss the will of God. How could you say that so certain? Because He gave me security. Can I ask you a question this morning? Are you still holding to the head? Are your eyes still looking to Him? If it's not, you've fallen to man. And you're very insecure. Let's bow our heads, please.